Welcome to this week's episode of Level Up. It's been over a week of intensive rocket fire, Israel, Iran, USA, and every day is a constantly new story, developing story. And this week, what we decided is to speak to an Iranian in the diaspora. Our guest today is Elahe. I had to learn how to say this name correctly, Jamale, but you can find her on any of her social media platforms as Lily Moo, a very vocal Iranian activist, to give us a little bit more of a background, not just about what's happening currently, but also about Iranians and the life being away from home and the hopes for what could come next. So thank you so much, darling, for coming on and taking the time. It's so nice to see you. And you're in the UK in the middle of summer, while here in South Africa, it's the middle of winter.
Oh, bless you. Thank you so much for your loving introduction for me. Thank you. It's an honor to be here and be with your audience today. Like you said, it is a crazy time. Historically, we are at a curving point, and to know that we're actually witnessing world change as every day passes is quite surreal. And it's, while it is terrifying, I would say there is a lot of room for hope, because we will get more into those layers of how there is hope, but for now,
so maybe not yet. You know, we're seeing some images coming out of Tehran, and there was definitely some information saying people are leaving their homes, but we're also seeing in the north, people are not leaving their homes because they're saying what they're seeing of the shelling is it is targeted at military and at military assets. So not everyone in Iran is running away.
That's
but
right.
having said that, what is your view of what is happening today? This Israeli aggression, this escalation with America coming on, and the Islamic regime and where it stands, as you call it, a curving point.
Yes. So in my opinion, I see this as a, you use the term Israeli aggression. Let's not forget that it's the Islamic Republic, the ruling government, the occupying force of the mullahs, who have invited and welcomed and looked for this war ever since their formation, ever since taking over Iran in 1979. When the Islamist and Marxist alliance formed and supported from around the world, that supported the creation of the Islamic Republic and the occupation of Iran under Khomeini, that's from that step onwards, the war on West was waged and begun. I mean, it started on November 5th, 1979 in Iran, in Tehran, when the American embassy was occupied. It happened the second the Israeli embassy was taken and turned over to Palestinians. There's a lot of nuances that are happened, that are in place right now, that are just, I find it that, like, so much of the truth about the Middle East is constantly being narrated through a white lens or a Western lens that's either refusing to accept the Middle East for what it is, or there's just this denial of the fact that people are capable of change. And the Middle East is ready for that change now. The Middle East is no longer going to accept the existence of the Islamic Republic. For the past 20 months, Israel has been fighting the proxies of the Islamic Republic. So many countries in the Middle East got devastated because the Islamic Republic and its proxies were using humans, civilians, innocent civilians, as their own human shields. We were talking earlier, you mentioned some, do ask.
No. So talk to us a little bit about this nuance, right?
Yes, because the human shield aspect of it. Let's start with the human shield aspect of the situation. While Israel is surgically removing terrorists such as IRGC commanders and government officials who have either had something to do with mass executions of Iranian civilians, or they have something to do with ordering of commanders of the Basij or the IRGC, any high profile murderer in Iran that is being surgically removed by Israel, that is a service to humanity and to Iranian people. Iranian people have been giving their lives in order to get rid of this regime. We have been seeking diplomatic turnover and regime change for the past 45 years, ever since the formation of this regime. However, every time there has been uprisings in Iran, it has been met with massacres and an absolute silence from the international community. On September 16th of 2022, when Mahsa Amini was murdered simply for existing as a woman, which BBC constantly includes this fact with the saying, oh, she was resisting or she was protesting. She wasn't. Mahsa Amini was walking with her brother in the street of Tehran. She was stopped. She was beaten to death for simply having some of her hair showing, not even a sense of not having her scarf on. And that brutal attack on an Iranian citizen and an Iranian woman sparked a revolution and unity and solidarity amongst Iranians inside of Iran and throughout the diaspora. So you say now,
you know, that they've been surgically removed, some of the top brass within the Iranian Republic Guard.
The Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps. The Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps. So there is nothing of Iran in that title. Not a single name, not a single mention of people of Iran or the country Iran. This is an imperialist Islamic expansionist group that has set root in Iran. It has parasitically sacrificed the country, nature, and the people of Iran in order to create this demonic Islamic expansionist, like a fake communist but Islamist nation that's going to become the future of the entire world, and the West is going to be on their knees. It's ridiculous.
Do you think that? But do you
that's
think
their
that
real beliefs? Yes, so that's it. That's happening right now.
So hold on. So right now, as you say that this Iranian the Iranian people have been erased, and this Islamic Republic has replaced them. And over the years, and we've seen.
I mean, in the eyes of the world, the Islamic Republic is being represented as Iran, whereas while the world leaders are always saying, we accept that the regime of Iran is separate from its people.
And in 2022, when we saw the first waves, for me in recent memory, just seeing the first waves of demonstrators, of people really standing up against the Islamic regime, and over the years since then, it has been brutally taken down, right? Do you think that the time now, even as America and Donald Trump say, they are not seeking regime change, they are simply wanting to neutralize the potential of nuclear arsenal in Iran. Do you think that the people of Iran are ready then to change the regime? And what does it look like the day after?
I'm going to say something. This regime will no longer exist anytime soon. In the near future, this regime will no longer exist. Therefore, regime change will happen as a new regime will arise. That arrival, that action, that gathering is already happening. Whether or not the international community is ready to accept that narrative and fact about Iranian people. Through narratives, are Iranian people, through all of these appeasing narratives of the Islamic Republic and Islamism in the West, they have kept my country. The mega powers in the world have facilitated a room for this regime to exist. In doing so, they put danger on the lives of civilians in the West and in Israel and the rest of the Middle East. Israel is taking action because Israel has no other option but to defend itself. Israel is removing, surgically removing, the commanders and criminals, terroristic criminals in Iran, while warning Iranian people to evacuate areas that could be close to even these arsenals or IRGC manufacturers, while the Islamic Republic is shooting missiles at Iranian civilians and Israeli civilians so that they can, one, invoke Israel to shoot at civilians in Iran. No matter how much they've tried, Israel has not done that yet. Israel has stayed true to their act, and they're still targeting only regime and IRGC people, which is fair. Iranian people are welcoming this. Listen to me. In Iran right now, there is no internet, right?
Yeah.
There's very selective internet. Very selective internet and very few bloggers and only a little bit of media regarding unity. However, that unity has a kafia around the neck. Or you have women who are not very hijabi next to the kafia wearing hijabi women and calling for the protection of Iran and unity and solidarity in that sense. They are encouraging Iranian civilians to stay without shelter in areas that could be bombed, and so that they could become martyrs for the regime. Imagine, there are no boots on the ground. There is not a single IDF soldier going around in different areas of Iran doing this. No. All of this war is being done technologically at such a high level that Iranian people are not even involved in this. Yet the regime is constantly trying to use them to be shot.
So, and what happens the day after? You say that there will be no Islamic regime in the near future. And a lot of media... Western media is talking about.
I'm going to share something very important here with you. Yes, go on.
Let me finish this thought. And what the Western media is also talking about and warning is what happens next. Will there be a vacuum, a leadership vacuum in Iran? Or who is there to take over?
This is what I'm going to share with you. This is very important. Mm-hmm. It's coming from 2-3 years of actively being involved in this field. And I started, it's very important that people understand that when I started coming to the streets of London calling for freedom for Iran and woman life freedom, I came as a non-political human rights activist, completely unaffiliated with any political organization, and I have carried on in that sense. However, I have found my path in alliance with the people of Iran based on the voices of Iranian people. And they're only calling one person as a unifying figure, as the head of the opposition for this regime, and that is none other than His Royal Highness Crown Prince Reza Pahlavi, the son of the Shah of Iran. And he has, for the past 47 years, actively worked to unify Iranian people for this regime change. His efforts have been met with so much hurdles and difficulties to the point that the Marxist Islamists that are constantly doing this solidarity for Palestine rallies every single week and day in the West, their same sources stopped his tour from fully succeeding or taking place in Europe just in the winter that just passed. So he was invited to Cambridge Union to speak. He was invited to the Holland Dutch Parliament. He was invited to the German Parliament, the Munich Security Council, and he was invited to the UN Human Rights Summit. Out of all of those, he only went to the Human Rights Summit because all of the lefty Marxist Islamists who want to keep this regime in place because it's in their favor to keep this regime in place did everything to keep him out as a royal, because apparently being a royal is outdated. Crown Prince Reza Pahlavi is not seeking a throne here. He has already clearly mentioned this for the past 45 years. For the first 100 days, over the past 3 years, Iranian people got together from within Iran and outside in the diaspora. Intellectuals in Iran whose safety is so paramount that we can't even name them right now, but Iranians from across the diaspora got together, they put forward a manifesto. There is a plan for the first 100 days of transition into a new government. Within that first 100 days, while Iran is not going through a power vacuum and terrorists are not suddenly going to grow, because don't forget, Iranian people have been united with each other for a very long time. They don't want someone like IRGC. They're already aware of groups like Basij. So they know as part of this takeover, there's going to be a lot of people from the Basij and IRGC who are going to join the people because the radicalization has already started. Think about it.
Why do you think that this time it will work?
Because our enemies are being taken out one by one. Because the arsenal that was shooting at Iranian people every time they came out to the streets of Iran, that arsenal is being destroyed by Israel. And very rightly so, because that arsenal is not only being used against Israel and the West, it's also being used against Iranian civilians. And this is something the Westerners need to accept and understand. Iranian people have been seeking regime change for a long time. They're ready for it. They have been ready for it. They've been building up for it. They didn't have the resources to get rid of a regime that was meeting their bare chests with only IRGC bullets. And when Iranian men didn't want to partake in killing and pillaging and torturing, you know, Iranian men and women, do you know what they did? The Islamic Republic, during Mahsa Amini's uprising, the National Revolution, throughout different cities in Iran, they would have all of these raids where they would take vans around in different in the main major streets, and all of this is recorded and shared with the UN Human Rights Watch, by the way. These are all facts. They'll have vans filled with Russian and Arab mercenaries taking instructions by Basij or IRGC members on how to torture, mutilate, and rape our young people, men and women, by the way. And this is the kind of atrocity we have and we've been dealing with. And now we have people in the West. Oh, Khomeini, oh, please. Anti-Semitism with a crown on their head. That's what this is. It's disgusting.
And how do you respond, though, to people who see Israel in particular as having become a bully in the Middle
Israel
East?
Israel is not being a bully.
And people who are seeing Netanyahu and his actions really as warmongering and bringing the whole world to a nuclear precipice.
Churchill was not palatable either. Winston Churchill was unbearable to be around. You're dealing with monsters here. The Nazis were monsters too. These are Islam-Nazis. Disgusting, even worse.
And when you are now in the UK and mobilizing and met with all of this resistance that says Iran is simply protecting itself, they were...
Iran is being protected by Israel right now. Iran and the Middle East is being protected by Israel and America at the moment. When a menacing force like a jihadist IRGC force who tell children that their biggest achievement in life is to go and become suicide bombers like Hossein Fahmideh, a 13-year-old Iranian child soldier who was brainwashed in the Iran-Iraq war. The second Iranian kids turn 8 or 9, we have exams on this, on how to be the best suicide bomber so that when we die and go to heaven, our goals are achieved for this regime and eventually Islam will be taken over the entire world. That's the kind of person you're dealing with. And that person wants to have nuclear arsenal at its disposal. I'm sorry, no. Iranian people have already suffered from the existence of this nuclear arsenal, both physically and financially and internationally, through this isolation for long enough. The non-existence, but I was extremely against any of these facilities getting targeted because of the natural disaster that could follow. So far, we're still waiting to see how much spillage is happening where or how this is done. But from the look of things, based on the information that's coming out of Iran, don't be fooled by this Allah Akbar, Khamenei, Rahbar, blah, blah nonsense that is being propagated forward, because everything else is being blacked out. Only through phone conversations, direct phone conversations that are all being listened to, by the way, right now. Because don't forget, this regime has been hollowed out from within so deeply that when Ismail Haniyeh was taken out in his own room in a villa given to him by the regime, and other rooms were not disturbed, they know they can trust nobody. Nobody.
Given that there is now so much polarization in the world, so much polarization, which is also driven very largely by social media and a very divided kind of mainstream media, as it were. When you hear people talking about Islamic regime proxies like the Houthis, like Hamas, like Hezbollah, and calling them freedom fighters, where you yourself have positioned yourself as an activist fighting for the freedom of your country. How do you feel about that? How do you feel when you see all of these people, campuses around the world, mobilizing to support these individuals?
Terrorist supporters, doesn't matter where they are. And I don't have time for them. They're choosing to do this. They're going and stepping in intellectual spaces, which means they have enough cognizant capability to know exactly what it is that they're doing. And they have convinced themselves that their righteousness equals men cutting women's breasts off and raping them to death because they're Jewish. So I have no time for anti-Semites. Every anti-Semite is also an anti-Iranian, and I have no time for them. Any anti-Semite is also anti-Cyrus. I don't have time for them. For the past 45 years, Iranian people tried to plead to the international community through so many routes of diplomacy. We were ignored, and our enemy was received with love and care, as we can see right now. Their disgusting fungus-like cloning popping up in every university, taking over the West. It's just foul. I don't care anymore. I am only at the moment. I know the freedom of Iran will have a positive effect in the future of the international community. That's all I know. So I'm going to only focus on my people, Iranian people, and my friends, the Israelis, whose lives are in danger because of the regime that is killing my people. Don't forget, executions haven't stopped. They are going in prisons in Iran right now, destroying and killing and torturing Iranian prisoners who have been the entire time of this whole scenario in prison, saying you've been giving information to the Mossad or outside or this or that. We are dealing with people who are worse than Taliban because they have literacy and some form of diplomacy at their hands. Barbarians with some form of diplomacy that is being accepted.
Do you think there is still a possibility? Do you think there is still a possibility for the Islamic regime to recalibrate where they are? What we hear and what we see coming out of the reports coming from Iran is a feeling that they are still strong, that they are still in charge. Do you think that they could recalibrate, and what does that look like for your activism?
I'm going to tell you one thing. I find the Islamic Republic to be nothing more than empty liars when it comes to showing strength to international community or their so-called enemies that they've created for themselves, the West. Every time they feel cornered, they attack Iranian people. In January of 2020, after Qasem Soleimani was taken out by the Americans, up on the sky of Tehran, mid-flight, mid-takeoff, a Ukrainian flight was taken down by IRGC missiles. This is who they are. If they have no human shields, like nobody to shoot bullets at their human shields that they've been seeking to have, they will shoot at them themselves. And then they say, Dushman did it, the enemy did it. When they were testing their missiles for IRGC, they would hit the Iranian facilities, like oil facilities or places that when they were not getting any attention. So they were doing a lot of executions. This is in 2023. Before Mahsa Amini's anniversary, I think I remember this. They dropped a missile in an oil facility, and then they kept looking for an enemy to pin it on, and it ended up just someone believed that, you know what, it was one of their own tests.
Is there still a chance for de-escalation?
No. De-escalation in what sense? There is no escalation. There is only removal of the regime.
De-escalation. Could this be walked back? And what does that look like? You know, we hear reports and the foreign minister, the Iranian foreign minister out of Istanbul, talking about they were ready to make a deal with America. And the deal that they were ready to make was scampered by Israel's attack. Is there still an opportunity to have a conversation and have a de-escalation of what we are seeing happen today?
American president came out on his social media platform, Truth, put it out there. He called it MIGA, make Iran great again. The path that Crown Prince Reza Pahlavi has already started, the campaign he already started early this year. And now the president of the United States, 6 months into this campaign, is openly sharing it with the world. The world must accept and be ready for a new Iran, a free Iran where Iranian people are going to be safe and they have an option for their future. We have no idea what referendum Iranians will, what's going to be the outcome of the Iranian referendum, if it's going to be a constitutional monarchy or if it's going to be a republic. But whatever it's going to be the choice of Iranian people, and it's going to be a legitimate, I must say again, referendum. Not like the 1979 abusive hijacking of votes. You know what happened in 1979? When the Khomeini's group took over Iran and the Shah left temporarily so that he doesn't cause, if the people were asking him to leave, he decided not to kill them and do the democratic act and actually leave. They came up with IRGC members or people who would eventually become IRGC, because at the time they were still forming their names for their militia. They would go with guns into all the different areas and drag people into making sure that all of their birth certificates and things are there so that they can go and give a vote. So this is counted and given to the international community. And this is the voting system. Yes to the Islamic Republic, or no to the Islamic Republic. No other option. Totalitarianism and dictatorship at its best on ballot papers. And then guess what was the outcome? Do you know much about it? Guess you know this already. You've been to
a wild guess of what happened.
I guess
next.
So 98%. Even in a school where kids are scared of their teacher, if there is an anonymous vote for whatever it is, there will still not be a 98% agreement. There will not be a 98% agreement.
Well, I want to talk more about the broader issues. You know, you mentioned earlier, alluded earlier to that it's a very nuanced environment in the Middle East, what is happening in the Middle East. And you also made reference to the Iran-Iraq war. Looking at the broader issues and the friends that the Islamic Republic has right now, today?
What friends? Russia?
Well, look, I mean, they have Turkey. They do still have some alliances in the environment, whether it is militias, whether it is state players, but they do still have some friends in the environment. And even though Donald Trump calls them the bully of the Middle East, talk to us a little bit more about the nuances of politics in the Middle East and where they make their alliances and what else is at play that we're not being told about in the Western world.
Okay, so we talked about friendship between Turkey and the Islamic Republic. Not so long ago, a few cargoes that were trying to smuggle money and gold out of Iran, Iranian wealth, ended up in Turkey and it was seized. And the president came, Erdogan came, and said, this was a blessing from God, so we shall keep it. This is the kind of friendship they have. They mock each other, they use each other, and they don't care where their next forward step will go or who's going to be behind it. The Islamic Republic is a menacing, two-faced force. Nobody trusts them. They don't trust anyone. Money talks, sure. That's why they've existed through the black markets of like oil or whatever. But think about it. All the countries surrounding the Persian Gulf do not see them as anything useful. They're a menace to all of them. Russia completely abandoned them. China doesn't want to have anything to do with them during this war. And honestly, as much as it breaks my heart that my country is currently having bombs dropped in it, in that beautiful, wonderful land of Iran, this is a war that's been dragged into that sovereign land from the invitations of the Ayatollah. And no matter how much the Westerners or the so-called freedom fighting, terrorist-loving, open-minded, progressive liberals of the West want to say this is bad. They're only saying this is bad because Iranian life doesn't matter. Only terrorist life matters to them, and only terrorist who's being killed by a Jew. Period. There is nothing else around it. Anti-Semitism is so alive, and it's become so cool for so many people that they've just sold their soul into that, the very same way the Nazis did it. It's just disgusting.
What is your hope for what happens next in Iran?
Okay, so my hope is this. Once the Islamic Republic falls, it's going to have a fantastic ripple effect for the rest of the world, because with that, the IRGC is also dismantling. Remember the past 20 months, all of the proxies have been depleted to the core by the Israeli forces during their war and attacks on Israel. Even if there's still missiles going to Israel, their arsenal is ending. So while this supply is finishing and the manpower of the regime in Iran is reaching its end, all of those people, like all of those IRGC soldiers and Shiite madrasas that are suddenly in Africa, they're going to start losing money. Someone's going to have to start doing something about that de-radicalization. So there's going to be a de-radicalization scheme that's going to start from Iran, and it's probably going to reach the rest of the world, but it's going to need, the other countries will have to be ready for this. I mean, the Nazis were in multiple countries. It's not something, it's not like, this Islamist Marxist movement, it's just a new Nazi movement. It's like, I can't put it in any other way, because if people are okay with Iranian people getting tortured, massacred, murdered, and raped for years and days on end, like in massive attacks on Iranian people, and the international community did nothing, absolutely nothing. And then the people who killed Iranians are getting killed by Israel, and they're all suddenly vocal anti-Semites. I don't have time for that. I see a good defeat of anti-Semitism coming forward from the new decades to come after Iran is free, because Israel is taking care of itself. Iranian people are going to take care of themselves through this freedom that they're reaching.
Well, money is a big motivator, right? So you talk about the money that leaving Iran, Iranian money leaving Iran, you talk about an oil-rich nation. Money is a big motivator to keep things and the status quo as is, right? Do you think that this holding on to power as much as they have, how much of that is an economic rather than a political play with regard
their
to
their entire political existence is built on corruption and personal financial gain? It's entirely connected with one another. They go hand in hand. That's why they've lasted as long as they have. They've imposed the poverty on Iranian people while driving the economy of the country and only funneling it into their proxies and the IRGC, destroying the currency of Iran. Imagine oil-rich country, other natural resources, and having the lowest currency in the world. It's ridiculous. But remember, ever since the Islamic Republic's formation, billions of Iranian dollars are blockaded outside of Iran through legal forms. Once the takeover is done, once the transition is in place, once Iran is going to go back into rebuilding, that money is going to have to come back into Iran, because it's no longer going to reach the hands of the terrorists who put a fatwa on British citizens from the second they come into existence.
So I hear you talk about the huge mobilization and international support of Iranians in the diaspora of the Crown Prince, Reza Pahlavi. But do you believe that he is strong enough to be the kind of unifying force that Iranians inside Iran are willing to rally behind? He's been away from the country all this time. People don't know who he is. We see him on social media.
People do know who he is. People have always known who he is. Every single year, every single Nowruz, messages from the Pahlavis have entered Iran, even before satellites ever existed, even before social media was there. The love for Pahlavi has continuously stayed alive in Iran through the double life of Iranians. Don't forget, we were bankrupt of our identity and nature and nation. The second Khomeini came in, they put a gender apartheid, and even conversations were being monitored. They had intelligence officers in every family. Yet, behind closed doors, people would talk about the Shah and the good days of Iran and what they've lost and how they will get it back and how they will make sure their daughters are educated and how they will make sure their sons will be educated and they're going to bring back the Shah. It's not even like they're going to bring back the Shah. We all thought this regime will die. It's always been, it's like every single year on Nowruz, it's been next year in Tehran. It's an exile that we've been in. And the people in Iran, ever since this, like for my own personal memories, we always thought this regime is gonna die. We always thought it's gonna go. From the first uprising after the war and after all of those mass executions of the 80s, in 1990, I believe 98, there was the University of Tehran University uprising, which was the first anti-regime open and publicized, like in the news uprising, which ended up having hundreds or thousands of hundreds of students just either tortured and taken into unknown custodies, and just hell broke loose. But we Iranians, we thought that's it, Iran is going to be free now. This is going to be a revolution. And in the same way, Iranians already did a revolution, and it happened so lightly and so easily. We thought it's going to happen again. So we've had this delusion that it's really going to happen next time it, there's an uprising. But we didn't know that the outside world is really, truly hell-bent on keeping this regime in. Now, this regime has nowhere to go. They have nowhere to go. And Iranian people are thriving in that. They are frightened. We are traumatized. It's not like, oh my God, Iranian people are basking in joy, coming out with their drums and hitting the circles and going, ding, 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 yay, war. No, Iranian people are devastated. They are terrified. They don't have the means to all get up and go. This regime didn't put any protection in place for its citizens every time they made them shout Allah Akbar and death to Israel and death to America. Not a single bunker was made anywhere for Iranian citizens. There's no safe rooms. While Israel is constantly under attack, Israel's trying to make sure they're putting in place shelters and infrastructure for their people. This regime is telling them to stay in places where bombs from planes are gonna hit, as if people standing there and being there is gonna, with their eyes, they're gonna send lasers and like confuse the aims of the planes. Like, what are they thinking? This is how invaluable, like, this is how minute Iranian life and Iranian civilian life is for this regime. And if someone's saving Iranian life right now during this attacks and this war, trust me, it's Israel and the Iranian civilians looking after each other. They've opened their homes to each other without any encouragement from the menacing regime of Iran, even though they're trying to hijack nationalism suddenly. Suddenly. It's disgusting.
Do you think that in the coming days, in the coming weeks, we're going to see more internally, kind of an internal pushback of Iranians rising up? And again, what we saw in 2022, 2023, more of that kind of action on the streets of Tehran and
Not
around?
right now, no, because right now people are trying to save their lives, and it's important not to put that pressure on Iranian people because there is regime change in the horizon. It doesn't mean that it needs people coming into the streets and rising up right now. People need to rise up to save their lives and save their loved ones as the regime is being taken out. Utilizing power behind closed doors is much more important than coming in the streets and getting shot because the regime is feeling very cornered. So it's going to take some time and it requires patience. Regime change has been in plan. The manifest sort of the infrastructural plans for it have been in place by Iranian people and with the transition government that's been forming outside. But let me tell you one thing. From the West at the moment, like MEK is constantly, MEK leader, cult leader, absolute terrorist, Maryam Rajavi. She's now constantly trying to make noise that she could be a possibility. She's not. They're actually hated in Iran because the MEK attacked Iran and they've committed terrorist activities against Iranian civilians because they lost the revolution to the Ayatollah. So they brought the Ayatollah in their Marxist Islamist group. Their friends, they were friends with Hamas and Yasser Arafat. And during the Iran-Iraq war, they thought, you know what, we're going to attack Iran and take over the government and become the new leaders of Iran. And since that time, they haven't stopped, but there's like 40,000 of them maybe internationally And there's like, and these members are all kind of inbred in the camps because this is a they're a cult and they do temporary marriages and polyamorous marriages so that they can have more kids. It's like a commune system.
Oh wow. So for before I let you
So
go,
she's very
this has been
illegitimate.
a deeply fascinating conversation. But for a person in South Africa who is just seeing now that there has been this big kind of escalation, as they call it in the news, and not sure who the players are and what to be looking out for. You know, if you were to say the big names that we should be listening out for as we see all of these changes, and who the players are that could step up and step into the space outside of a vacuum, that we should be kind of looking at and listening out for, who would those names be? Who would those names be? Who would those organizations
I
be?
would say one unifying figure as a figure of opposition, as a leader of this opposition against the regime, is His Royal Highness Crown Prince Reza Pahlavi. Everybody who is connected to him, all the different organizations who are reaching out to him, whether they are Republican or constitutional monarchist, they are the ones who are trusted people by Iranians. MEK is not trusted. There's all of these let's just say this. A lot of people who came out to do the Woman Life Freedom Uprising in support of the Voices of Iran tried to hijack that revolution as their second chance to win over the communist revolution they wanted to have in Iran in 1979. And throughout the Woman Life Freedom movement, they tried their best to hijack and portray this reality that Iranians in Iran, they don't want monarchy and they don't really want Crown Prince Reza Pahlavi. He's not a unifying figure just by saying these words. Just lying on camera, like because the chants in Iran are showing it. Not only the chants, the social media accounts of Iranian people, the cultural existence of this family in Iran, the living memory and the love for the Pahlavis is not this like look to the back in the golden era of Iran. It's the fact that Iran became a developed and modern country. Iranian women became emancipated because of the actions and persistence of Pahlavi devotedly making Iran a better country. And for some reason, apparently, being a growing, sustainable country who is in touch with international trade is far too capitalistic and they don't like it, but they're happy to live here in the UK under constitutional monarchy and have all the freedoms of democracy while they want to chant communism for Iran so that Crown Prince Reza Pahlavi doesn't go back. That's personal agenda. That's lying against Iranian people. And those who say that, I'm sorry, I'm saying it right here, right now. Call me a hardcore right-wing, whatever. I'm an apolitical person. I'm just a citizen of Iran. But I know what Iranian people are calling out for, and I know how much work and devotion Crown Prince Reza Pahlavi has put in place. The hardcore communists, they don't have any other leader. They can't put an activist forward and say that's yes, she's our leader. And MEK is just a former terrorist organization is not going to be suitable for the future of Iran. Let's just say that. Iranian people have moved from Islamism and any case exactly that. So they're definite no. And anybody who's coming out and saying Crown Prince Reza Pahlavi is not strong to he doesn't have the same sort of macho as a leader as Trump has or this or that. Crown Prince Reza Pahlavi has been tirelessly working on his own. and facing closed doors after closed doors. I want to see a normal person go on an international interview and be ripped apart and still say, yes, I love my country, and yes, I will continue fighting for it. Not many people in the world do that. He didn't have to do any of that. Yet he did, and he has. And Iranian people appreciate it, and Iranian people want him. So don't give your attention to the noise that's the same noise that's calling Islamic Republic Iran now. Anyone who's calling Islamic Republic Iran is the same people who calls Hamas resistance. They're untrustworthy, and I don't care even if they're speaking Persian, if they're calling themselves Iranian, punching their heart and their chest. I don't care. If they want to keep the Islamic Republic in place so that they keep Crown Prince Reza Pahlavi out of spite and jealousy, they are the enemies of Iran, and I have no time for them. My entire focus is to focus on the positivity and the future of Iran post this extremely scarring time that my country is facing right now.
Well, thank you. Thank you for taking the time. And it's been really interesting and eye-opening to hear from somebody who is outside Iran, but also has a deep and deep connection to the country. So thank you for your time. And we're all watching with bated breath. I mean, I think there's a lot of polarizing reporting coming out at all of us at every moment. And it's changing and moving so fast. Every moment of this entire thing is changing and moving so fast. So as we watch,
But I'm going to tell you this one thing again.
Yeah.
I've probably said it about a million times, but the emphasis is there. We've gone past international public opinion. Israel's gone past international public opinion. There's only one route for freedom for Iranian people and the rest of the Middle East and the future of the international community, and that's a future where there's no longer an Islamic Republic in place. An Islamic Republic led by Khamenei or people who are like him inside of Iran, destroying the rest of the international community. This war, as painful and as devastating as it is, Iranian people are dying, civilians in Israel are dying, because the Islamic Republic is only focusing on hitting civilian areas. The very polarized reporting is still not reporting with humanity when it comes to the civilian areas hitting Israel. But the level of compassion they show about anywhere a Jew hits is inhumane. It's anti-Semitism at its best. And when there is anti-Semitism, there is racism, there is hate, there is inhumanity, and it doesn't come with just, I don't know, it comes in all colors and shapes.
It does come in all colors and shapes. And, you know, I can't believe that all my life, as far as I can remember, we've been chanting and calling for peace in the Middle East. And here we are, yet again, hoping and praying that peace will reign in the Middle East. And good luck for all of your activism, and definitely good luck to the people of the Middle East and the people of Iran. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
For coming
on. It could have been North Korea, but now it's going to be South Korea. Thank you, Donald Trump.